That's my cue. So let's get started with the session. This session here is about the Microsoft Bot Framework and a demo application that we have created called the Azure Bot. It's in its starting phases at the moment. We have support just for a few things on Azure, but it's a really interesting implementation that we wanted to share with you how we built it and how we created it. I'm Thiago Almeida, Senior Engineer at Microsoft. You can follow me on Twitter at NZTHIAGO. And myself and David Tessar, we started with this idea of creating a bot to help people manage their Azure subscriptions. And that's what started this whole project. So from there, we started looking into the bot framework, and then we implemented the bot. So I'll show you some details. Were any of you at my session yesterday? Yeah, a few folks. So bear with me. There's a few repeat slides here, but I promise we'll get into the meaty stuff pretty soon. But just to cover again, Conversations as a platform is something that you might have heard Satya and other senior leaders from Microsoft present about. And that's where we are, from a people perspective, we're trying to enhance or extend what people can do with technology. And we are creating bots as well, or helping people create bots to allow people to chat and, with a bot and get responses and get automated work from there, but also digital assistants like Cortana that can be a way to call bots on your behalf and it knows about you more than a bot normally does. So the digital assistants to bots, there's a difference there. But all of these areas are areas that Microsoft are focusing on, artificial intelligence, a digital assistant through Cortana, and enabling people to build bots with our bot framework to enhance the conversations as a platform. So the part that is pretty pervasive is, you know, human language is becoming part of the new UI, so the interface where machines learn how to talk to humans instead of we having, as an IT industry, having to teach humans how to use computers. So that's what's happening here. Bots are the new applications, or at least a new type of application. And intelligence is getting infused into most of the interactions that you have. So basically, if I were to define what bots are nowadays, they're basically just a new type of application or a new interface that will provide more natural interactions between a human and computers. So, and that's where it allows some benefits. As you can see there on the right, the different interfaces that the bot framework allows you to expose to a person, or a cat, if you look at the top image there, exposes Facebook, Messenger, GroupMe, Kick, Skype, Slack. But your code, what's on the right, is just exactly the same. So it talks to the bot connector framework. The connector does the messaging input and output between your code and the conversation canvases that you enable. And I'll show you how we did it for the Azure bot. It keeps track of the conversations that are happening between your users and your bot. So you can stack multiple dialogues to create a conversation between the bot and your users. And then finally, you can choose to use intelligence services or not. You know, a bot doesn't have to have intelligence services, and it could be a very specific bot to say, I didn't understand the question, type this for the command that you want to do, or that you want me to do, or click this button for a specific command. But if you add intelligence services where it makes sense, then it will enhance the experience that your users will have. So this is a general interface of the bot connector and where it sits and what it exposes. There's quite a few different interfaces there. By default, Skype is already enabled for you because you're signing in with a Microsoft account. But this is the one that we have for the Azure bot itself. So what we created is we are using language understanding, Lewis. That's one of the cognitive services APIs, to help understand the intent of what people are trying to do with their Azure subscription. And then once the user starts chatting with the bot, we redirect them to a root dialogue, which is the main dialog that will handle help, commands, login, logout, and listing of subscriptions. And then after that, any command that comes through from the user, we will identify which one of the other dialogues can take care of that, and then forward the dialog to that that one. So when someone is logging in, it's all in the root dialog, then it forwards it to the auth dialog. Once the auth dialog is done, it returns to the root, and then if someone says start a VM, it will check each one of the dialogs to say, who can handle VM commands, and then it identifies VM dialog and forwards it there. So it creates that stack of dialogs that keep going up and down, right? And of course, then each one of those dialogs, the ones that actually need to understand how to do something for the user, it will talk to the Azure ARM APIs just through using NuGet packages in our case, but you could do it directly through to the APIs as well. So that's basically the setup that we have. So from now on, I'll just go to my computer and show you around the things that we've done to implement the bot. So just to as a starting point here, I'll show you in Skype. So I have Skype there with a few bots enabled, including the Grumpy Your Face bot, if you remember from yesterday. But if I go into the Azure bot here and just say hi to it, let me just zoom in a little so that you can see there. Yep. And you can see it just replies with, sorry, that's not really well zoomed in, but you can see it just says, I can help you with listing, switching subscriptions, and et cetera. And at the bottom it says, please log in to interact with me for the first time. So I can type login. And you see it says, you must be authenticated before you can proceed. Please click here to log in. So that's, if you remember the diagram that I had before, this is basically forwarded it to a different dialog that handles the auth for me. So if I click there, wait, let me try again here. And I'll sign in. Okay, and that basically, it will sign you in. In this case, I have it enabled for a Microsoft domain account, and that's the one we have. Let me just auth here with my phone because it has two-factor authentication enabled. Okay, I got the request. I'll authenticate, and that should allow it to go through. So that's the typical scenario that you would have when you have auth in a bot. At the moment, at least, we recommend that you forward it to the system that will handle the auth for you and then continue talking to the bot here. So I'll just paste it back, and hopefully that will pick up my authentication. And you can see it's already picked up that my name from after signing in, and then all the subscriptions that I have against that Microsoft account that I signed in as. So I can say, I want to work with subscription one, the Azure Bot Prod, and do some commands like list all the VMs that I have in there, right? And if I want to, I could say stop VM Red Hat VM. That will identify it in the background. It's identifying that the intent is to stop a VM and that the VM that it wants to stop is Red Hat. And it confirms, I'll say yes. And then it goes away and stops that VM for me. And I can go and do other stuff. Once the VM is done, it'll come back here and just tell me again that the VM is stopped. So the idea of having an extra interface for you to interact with things that you might have already had an app, like in our case, we have the Azure portal, is pretty cool for bots, and we thought this is another interface for you to do things against your bot, especially if you're on the run, on the go. If you wouldn't be able to use the Azure portal from your phone, so or the Azure CLI. So this is one way where you could go and just quickly hop into Skype or Slack and run a few commands against your Azure subscription. Just to show you here, if I open Slack as well and switch over to the Azure Bot Slack channel, Slack account. It'll be just a few seconds until it connects, and then we'll see that I have here, I've been chatting with the Azure Bot before. Let me zoom in again. And if I say list VMs here, the difference is with the Skype one I had before we started the session, I had logged out just so that I could show you how the auth works. But with Skype, with Slack, I was already logged in. I shut Slack down, and now I opened Slack again, and it remembered who I was and what subscription I had. So that's using the bot framework context data, where it stored the Azure Access token for me inside the bot framework itself and behind the scenes, you know, into a Key Vault and et cetera. So it's secure in there for that private connection between me as that account in Slack and the Azure bot conversation that I have. So that's another thing, you know, is not having to re-sign in every time that you start a conversation with the Azure bot through a channel. So that's something that we thought was pretty cool to implement. So now that you saw what we've done so far, and you know, there aren't that many commands that we have enabled. We're working on expanding it to the rest of Azure and et cetera, but it's a pretty interesting scenario to talk about. So I'll switch over here to Windows, and I'll resume that VM. So the part where we started, and I think you remember I showed you that Lewis was part of our application, the Language Understanding API. So that's basically under Lewis.ai there. Where you can log in and create an account, and that gives you API keys for you to work with it. And when we first started, we basically created one Azure bot one that where we defined all of the commands. So it was all in one dialog instead of having root and multiple ones. It was everything was in one big Azure Lewis dialog there. And we quickly figured out that that wasn't scaling very well. So that's where and if we wanted to have different teams working on different dialogues or different, so if we get someone to work on just web commands, then they would probably want to just work on their own dialogue for a while. So that's why we decided to split it. Let me see why it's loading here. And then while that loads, I'll show you also the bot framework dashboard. So that's the next step, or you can start here and then go to Lewis. But the next step is to just create bots in the bot framework itself. So you go to botframework.com and sign in there with your Microsoft account, and then you can create your bot. So we have a beta one for when we're deploying updates and testing for the Azure bot, and the actual production one here. You can see that one is already published, so that's in the bot directory. You don't necessarily need to publish your bot, but we wanted people to start using it externally. And these are all the channels that we've enabled. So like I said, Skype, Direct Line, and Web Chat, those are usually pre-configured for you, and you just have to click on each one of them to get the details. But for Facebook Messenger, GroupMe, Skype, and Slack, we basically follow these add another channel path here, where you go add, and it takes you through like three or four steps, depending on which one of the channels, for you to make that connection between the bot framework and that channel. Right, let me see if this has loaded. No, it's not very happy. And so you can see here, that top one, it has 20 intents in 8 entities, where the other ones, automation, resource group, and root, and VMs, they have a lot less, each one of them. And that's because we basically split out those intents for each one of those. So if I try to load root here, you see that the intents that it handles are these. So subscription-based, help, login, log out, and then there's one that's none, which is the default one that they give you. And just to show you a few examples here, if I go review labels, you basically write something here, so select a name, subscriptions, and you train Lewis to understand that when there's select, subscription, and something in the middle, the intent should be use subscription to switch a subscription. And what we highlighted in blue there is the entity for the subscription name. Right, so we basically just trained it. When I presented the Tuesdays with Corey, that just presented here, we entered in something, command, and it misunderstood. Instead of going into a VM, it tried to list the resource groups. So I was just able to come back here, find that one, and retrain it to say, no, this is list VMs or this is start VMs. Right, so it's very helpful in that way. And then it takes care of a few extra things. So I can type a command that's, hey, Azure bot, please help me with listing as subscriptions. And it'll still identify that as the intent, right? So that's that here. And that's this, the Azure bot dashboard. So those are the two things that you start with before developing your application. You can do this either before or after. It's up to you, but I guess at least the Lewis model you need if you're using intents and dialogues. Okay, so switching over to Visual Studio itself, you see here we basically split it up. The Azure Bot one is a web API, so this is the one where you start. The starting point is just an ASP.NET web API, and they have a starting example that you pick that up and then keep adding to it. And you see it's just a web API. It has a controller. And then we add dialogues to it. And there's that root dialogue that connects to the Lewis root dialogue as well. Right? The controller is basically it accepts a post, and the route that we have is API/messages. And all that it does is receives that as an activity type, which is a bot framework activity, and forwards it to this root dialog. And then the root dialog takes over from there and starts handling all of the messages. Right. So from this perspective, there you don't need to do that much. But some advanced stuff that you can do here is, just like we have with the auth part of it, is it forwards you to a web page somewhere else, and once that's done, it posts back into your bot so that it can resume the conversation. That's all in the auth bot NuGet package that we use. But if you wanted to implement it yourself inside your code, you can most certainly create a second method here to accept a continuation token and then tell the bot to continue the conversation, just like we did with the authentication there. So another example, we worked with a customer where they wanted to enable PayPal payments, and we basically worked with the PayPal SDK to add a link for the users to go to PayPal, pay for whatever they were paying. Once that was done, we configured the redirect URL from PayPal back into our bot code, and then we double-checked that the payment was successful or not, and then resumed the conversation from the bot. So that's why you know this part here is important. So if I run this, it'll just host it locally and tells you, you know, you use this here, API/messages. And what you use is, in Windows to test your bot locally is the Microsoft Bot Framework, right? The channel emulator. And you basically just put the URL locally here. If you want to test it against a bot that's already deployed, you can put the app ID and the app password here and also in the web.config of your bot code. But if you leave it blank here and in your local host, the bot code, it will just do it locally. So you can develop, test everything locally without having to deploy it to anywhere. So I have a few breakpoints in the code just to show you. If I start with high again, just like I did before, it'll trigger here and it'll breakpoint there. So just to show you that it's got my activity there. Let me zoom in. And it has quite a lot of different details, the service URL, the ID of that activity, and the text that I sent in, hi. And then it will forward it to the root dialog, right? So that's pretty straightforward. Once it gets into the root dialog, then things start to get interesting. So I'll open the root dialog here. As a starting point, all we have is this method here that receives a message from when it came from the controller. And we're checking if it contains the word login, then we forward it to a different dialog for the auth. So this is a NuGet package called authbot. It's not really a full bot. It's just an extension, a NuGet package that will extend your solution to be able to auth into a Microsoft account. And then this will take over from here. Otherwise, if it doesn't contain login, it'll just show the help. So if I continue here, since it didn't have login, it just showed me that same help message. So if I do login, now it'll go into there and forward it to the auth part. So let me just log in here so we can continue. And the reason why we're using this number, just like you do, sort of like you do with the Azure CLI, is it adds extra security to it. But also, if eventually we enable the Azure bot for multiple people to be talking to it inside the same channel in Slack or GroupMe or others that support multiple people, then this is a way for you to identify who is the person that's logging in and which subscriptions they are allowed to use. Right. So it's to determine who is talking to the bot. Who's trying to log into the bot. Okay, and then you can see it's exactly the same as before. Log in, I'll select the same subscription again, and I'll do a list VMs here, just so that it hits another breakpoint. And here's where we implemented a factory, a dialog factory. This was implemented by a community member, and what that does is let me step into there. It loops through every assembly and resource dialogs, and then gets resource dialogs from inside that assembly. So let me step in here just to show you. So when it first starts, it doesn't have any assemblies, and hopefully it picked up. Yeah. So it loaded four assemblies that have the name azurebot.services, and then it populates all of the dialogues there that can handle messages, right? So I have automation resource group and VM resource. So those are the three other dialogues that I have in other assemblies. So once that's loaded, then it loops through them and just calls the can handle method of each one of those. So, and there we, for now, we're only doing like a text search. So if for virtual machines, it'll try to see if the phrase has VMs or something else. So it's not doing Lewis, it's just specific keywords for that. But after that, once it identifies that it's the VM one, then it will go into the VM, and if I say start VM Linux VM, I'll remove that because we don't need it. So once it identifies that it is the VM one, then it will go into the VM dialog here, right? So this VM dialog, it also has its own Lewis model. So once it identified, yes, I can handle VMs, then put that whole phrase in to identify what the actual intent is. Is it to list VM, start a VM? In this case, it's start VM. So it from that dialog factory, let me just show you that again. It's basically forwarding that conversation into the factory. Well, that actually happens. So this just identifies which one can handle it. And then in the root dialog here, it does a context.forward, which is the keyword to forwarding the dialog. So in this case, we started, we have root at the bottom, and then the VM dialog comes in. It goes to auth and then back, and then the root goes into the VM through this context.forward. And then once the VM says, oh, I'm done with this dialog, it returns back to the root. And there's different ways. So if you do context.call or context.forward, forward would actually forward that phrase to the dialog, and call will just start a dialog without forwarding the message. So you can create different stacks of dialogues that way. And we're in a breakpoint here in the VM dialog, sorry. Because I wanted to show you that we don't have only, it's not only that Lewis models and dialogues that we have. We also have something called a form dialog, which I explained yesterday, but just to cover it again, you can define specific fields that you want the bot to ask the user to fill out. And in this case, it might be just a confirmation to say, is this the VM that you want to start? But you don't have to keep writing the code for asking confirmations and stuff. You can just tell the bot framework to say yes or no, or in this case, it's a little bit more complex because we wanted to list the name of the VM. It just pass in that form to it, and the bot framework will take care of that for you in that dialog. Once it's done, then it continues here and then implements the code to run the VM. Or in this case, to start the VM. So just to show that there's a different types of forms that you can create. So it doesn't have to always be a custom dialog or even a Lewis model dialog like we have here. So as you can see, would you like to start the VM with that name? Yes, it starts the VM. And then it keeps checking until it's done to reply to you. So that's the basics of how the bot itself is implemented, which seems to be working pretty well at the moment. The other part that I wanted to show you in the code, and I'll stop here debugging, is we took advantage of the direct line API. So I don't know if you remember, but as I was talking, I was showing the different channels that we have enabled. One of those is the direct line. And that one is if you want to implement your own interface, maybe you don't want to use Facebook or anything like that, or even the web chat interface. You want to create your own thing, or if you want to talk directly to the bot without going through any of the channels, then this is the way to do it. And we took advantage of that for our tests. So just to show you a couple of things here, we created unit tests or functional tests here. So if I open the VM test one, for example, you can see we have some categories to see if they can run in parallel or not. But it's pretty simple. All we do is we have an action, and we have a expected beginning of the reply. So you could say list VMs, and we expect the bot to say the available VMs that you have are, and list those VMs, right? So we didn't go too far into the madness of unit testing here, but at least we're testing the functionality to make sure that whatever we've just deployed as a new update to the bot didn't break things that were there already. So for every new command, we add a few tests to make sure that future things won't break. And then the test runner here, it'll call into bot helper, and bot helper talks to the direct line. So you can see here, it sends a message to the bot with no reply, or sometimes it expects a reply. But basically, it uses the direct line. It's a NuGet package for .NET as well that you can use to post messages directly to the bot framework for you. The important thing for us is you have this token for direct line, so you need to pick up that token from the bot framework dashboard. And also, if you keep using the from user, always use the same value there, then it'll continue. The next time you go to talk to it, it's just like when I went back into Slack and it recognized that it was me talking to the bot. So it's a combination of the from user and using that direct line token in this case. So we had a look at Lewis, the bot dashboard. We checked out the code and how it works with the emulator itself, how we implemented some of the tests here. And finally, there's a couple more things that I wanted to show. So we have it automated in Visual Studio Team Services. So I think I have it open here. Okay. So because both David and I really like continuous integration and deployment, we made sure that we have a build definition in Visual Studio Team Services for the bot. And as you can see here, by default, this is just building. So it's just a Visual Studio build that builds that web API document for us. And because it's all .NET, it's pretty straightforward. We just use a hosted agent to build it. Once it's built, then the release definition kicks in. So in a successful build, it kicks off this Azure bot build definition. And in here, we have it deploy the first environment that deploys the web app into the beta site, Azure Bot Beta. Then we run a bunch of tests in parallel. And you might have seen before that some of the tests were failing because those three environments were failing. So there's a few of the runbook tests that we're running that are failing because it's not responding the way we like. And that's exactly why you have tests, right? So I need to investigate that. But basically, it deploys all of these. Once the beta one passed and all of these tests here have finished, then this deploy bot prod kicks in. So it basically just deploys to a different Azure website. And what we have done here is it has deployment conditions. So it has to be someone that comes in and say, OK, deploy to prod. So it has no automated deployment. It's not depending on any of the other ones. It's one of us from the bot team have to come in and say, OK, we're ready to deploy this to production. It's looking good in the beta one. And also, we have two approvers, so me and David, to make sure that we both approve it before it allows this to be deployed. But once it's deployed, it's pretty straightforward. Deploys to a web app, and the web app is updated. We aren't using slots yet, but we probably should start pushing it to slot and then doing slot swaps to avoid downtime for current users. And these tests are the ones that are using that direct line. So it's just basically running test assemblies, task here to run all of those tests for us. And then the last thing that I want to show you, of course, in Azure itself, they're both deployed, both the bot and the beta. They're basically just deployed as web apps from VSTS. And we have the production one in a basic standard size. And you can see it's just trickling along with users there. But the cool thing that we've done is the bot framework itself, it has support for App Insights. So if you add the App Insights NuGet package and the key to your web app, and also when you configure your bot in the bot framework dashboard with that key, it'll start tracking not the messages themselves, because those are private to the users, but the calls into the dependencies from the bot, and you can see which ones are taking longer and et cetera. So just to show you that here, we have App Insights here for both of the bots, the bot and the beta. And if I go in here and check it out, the usage over time, there's a few that are taking a while. And this here is the dependency one. And we can see from a dependency perspective here, direct line is the one that's taking the longest. Then it's, sorry, you probably can't see that very well. Direct line is taking the longest, and then it's put into the management.azure.com. So that's basically when it's, you know, triggering events on the Azure side. Slack, then bot framework, and finally the Project Oxford API, which is the Lewis models as well. So it's keeping track of everything that the bot is calling, and you can then identify which ones have a high count and also the ones that are taking the longest, so that you can manage it. And of course, if there's web API exceptions, it will track those for you as well. So there were like 51 failed requests since we started here. So, and I can investigate why that's happening. So it's pretty cool to have that integrated into the bot framework to support App Insights for you. And one final thing, it's open source on GitHub. So if you want to check out the code of how we did it, it's just github.com/Microsoft/AzureBot. Most of the work that we're doing at the moment, it's under add extensibility. So the master branch still has what's in production now, which is everything under one dialog. But we are changing it all to this add extensibility branch here with all of those different ones that I showed you from Visual Studio to do the forwarding and back. So we're working towards deploying this version to production as well for the users that are checking it out. We also have some, if you want to set it up locally on your own environment, we have a developer setup instructions here so that you can follow. There's a few sub-pages here for you to implement this. So how to get the Lewis model going, Active Directory, register the bot, and all of that stuff. So it's an interesting example for you to play around with. And of course, if you want to help us in submit some help code into the bot, then definitely contact us through an issue here, or just submit a pull request to the add extensibility, and we'll review it and work with you to accept it in. So with that, let me zoom in, zoom out, sorry. Oh, and you can see here Skype has a message, and it's basically just the bot replying that the Red Hat machine did stop successfully. So that's a pretty quick view into how we built it. You can check it out there if you want to actually use the bot. So that link will have the URLs for you to add it to Slack or add it to all of the other ones. And just of course, keep in mind it's just VMs and automation runbooks for now that we have enabled. And if you want to find out more about the bot framework itself, it's pretty easy, botframework.com. There's a full MVA course on the bot framework. So it's a few different parts there under aka.ms/botcourse. So check that out. And besides the Azure bot, there's quite a lot of different samples in both the bot builder dash samples and under bot builder itself on GitHub. So with that, I'm 5 minutes early, which is good, better than being 5 minutes late. And I hope you enjoyed learning more about the Azure bot. If you have any questions, just come on up and ask them. I'll be here for a little while. Otherwise, just ping me on Twitter. Okay, thank you.